All right. Well, good morning. Come on, son. You can do it, right? Did anyone tell all of a sudden it's June? Come on. All right. Hey, let's pray together. God, thank you for today. Thank you that because of Jesus, right now, as your people, we can come into your presence. We can come before you with humble confidence to respond to you, to receive and accept your invitation of love, to walk with you, to turn from our sin, and to be your people. So, Lord, this morning, I just thank you, God, for making a way for us to have full and abundant life in you. And thank you, Lord, that we can be a community rooted in you. That's our desire, that we would become more and more like you. And I pray that this time we spend right now, Lord, would be part of your holy rewiring of us, Lord, to make us more like Jesus, to be more of who you want us to be. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the way. Thank you, God, for inviting us to draw our roots deeply into you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we started last week, if you were with us, a new series called Cultivating Life, Exploring the Ancient Practices that Help Us Be More Like Jesus. And our hope is that we would spend the summer looking at some of these different spiritual practices and disciplines and ways that we can participate and God's transformation of us and making us new people from the inside out. How do we turn from sin? How do we walk with God? How do we become new kinds of people? Because the world we live in, I don't know if you know this, it's not set up in a way where the default way of living is going to make you be more like Jesus. Did you know that? It's not. There's an element of adjusting our schedules and our time and our attention to become people that allow God to transform us and to make us. Dallas Willard said, I'm going to paraphrase it, he said it much more intelligently than me, but he said something like, spiritual growth, or our sanctification, is totally a work of God, yet we are totally involved in it. That it's a work of God doing something in us, giving us hearts of flesh and taking away our sin and making us different and more like Jesus and bringing about the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, but we're involved in that process. Like our climbing up onto the operating table to allow him to do a work that only he can do. And so we're in this series, Cultivating Life, where we're talking about some of these different practices, these ancient practices. These ones were all engaged by Jesus, except for one. Do you remember which one Jesus didn't do?
Confession.
Yeah, didn't need to. All these practices of allowing God to have space in our lives and being like a tree planted by the water where our roots draw deep into who he is and what he desires for us. And some of these are practices of engagement, things you're doing. Some things are disengagement where you're stepping back. Some of them are breathing in. Some of them are breathing out. And we're going to jump into the first one this morning. And it seems like a pretty good foundational place for us to start is talking about the spiritual discipline of Scripture. The Bible, the revealed Word of God that we have. The Bible, if anyone have a real Bible with them today? A few of you guys? Sweet. We used to say, does anyone know what we used to do when I was youth pastor a long time ago? I'd say, do you have your Bibles?
Word.
People would say, Word. Oh my, what a dorky thing. But kind of fun. And you know what? If there's any day I can get away with like extra dorkiness, it's today, right? One of the kids bought me a dad joke book a couple years ago for Father's Day, and then they were like, oh, what were we thinking? We've caused problems. Anyway, but today we're talking about the Scriptures and the revealed Word of God, these divinely inspired writings. And Adele Calhoun reminds us that God is a God of communication and words. He uses words that speaks to us. And in fact, even one of the ways that Jesus is described is as the Word, that he uses words. And in the Bible, this collection of writings that we have, God communicates to us, he reveals himself, and then he also reveals our longings. He reveals our sin and our brokenness and also our belovedness before him. And so it's this powerful document that we have the privilege of looking at and reading and building our lives around. And if we want to be people that become more like Jesus, this is a pretty important thing, the Scriptures. Pretty important. There's a lot of places we could have gone, and here's a few verses to start out. Like in Colossians 3, Paul says this to the Colossians and to us, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom." Now think about that image of the Word of Christ dwelling in you. It's something that is living inside of you, working from the inside out. When the God's people, after Moses died, and the people go into the Promised Land with under Joshua's leadership, with the book of the law given to them, it says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." Meditate on what God has given you, the revealed word about who He is. And last week, Psalm 1, the verse that chapter that Dan just mentioned, and we're going to look at it again next week because it's we're going to dedicate Elizabeth next week, Elizabeth Horton. This is her verse. But blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, how God has revealed Himself, who meditates on His law day and night. And so if you want to be transformed people, and I hope you do, I think that Scripture is a big part of that. And some of the spiritual disciplines we've talked about, like we want you to explore, maybe some of them are more for you, we want you to try them out, see how they fit. Scripture is a pretty important foundational one, I think, for all of us. And so there's a lot of reasons that we should spend some time in that. Well, what is the Bible? I grew up in church. I've always known the Bible is really important, and it's been foundational. In fact, in addition to the song Jesus Loves Me, another one that I sang growing up was, you know this one, B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, and maybe Bible. I don't know that part. That's like maybe a Canadian thing. But you know, so I grew up knowing the Bible is really important, you know. And I remember like hearing a Sunday school teacher say, "Oh, Bible, that's an acronym. It stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth." You ever hear this before? And I'm like, "Oh yeah, Basic Instructions." Then I would open it up and be like, "There's no basic, maybe some basic instructions, but it wasn't quite what I thought it was going to be." And so sometimes we see the Bible, while we think it's important, know it's important, we see it in different ways. Sometimes we see the Bible as like a collection of stories that have a moral, like be brave like David, be honest like, you know, or whatever. Like we see it like as Aesop's fables, like all these collection of stories with a moral. Or maybe we see it as a rule book, you know. Or we see it as like a collection, some would say maybe it's a collection of myths. But what we see it as is a unified story that leads to Jesus, God revealing Himself to us. And there are parts of it that are instructional. There are parts of it that are poetic. There are parts of it that are narrative. And all of it comes together to point us towards who God is. If you remember, if you were here with us for the last year or so, last fall we spent the whole fall going through the whole Bible in the Storyline series. One of my favorite sermon series we've ever done, that I've ever been a part of. It's on our website if you want to check it out. But it's this various authors that were divinely inspired by God to write these things that point to who He is. It wasn't just beamed down from the sky to show up. God worked through human beings in their situations. We like to say that the Bible was written for us, but it wasn't written to us. Like it was written in a context that we need to understand, and yet it's the way that God has shown Himself. It's foundational for how we know God. The Bible Project did a really great series called How to Read the Bible. It was maybe like 7 or 8 years ago. It's like a 13-week thing. And the first video is called What is the Bible? And I loved how they portrayed it, so we're just going to watch that right now. Ted, will you reach over and turn off the stage lights while this video goes? They're the switch closest to the front. I'll let you do it, Tyler.
The Bible. It's one of the most influential books in human history.
It explores the big questions of why we exist.
It's inspired many people to do amazing things.
And confused many others.
And you've probably got one sitting around somewhere.
So, what is the Bible actually?
Well, the Bible is a small library of books that all emerged out of the history of the people of ancient Israel. And in one sense, they were just like any other ancient civilization. But among them were a long line of individuals called prophets, and they viewed Israel's story as anything but ordinary. They saw it as a central part of what God was doing for all humanity. And these prophets were literary geniuses.
Really?
Yeah, they expertly crafted the Hebrew language to write epic narratives, very sophisticated poetry. They were masters of metaphor and storytelling, and they leveraged all of this to explore life's most complicated questions about death and life and the human struggle.
So, there's a lot of different authors writing this book.
Yeah, and these texts were produced over a 1,000-year period, starting with Israel's origins in Egypt. then leading up to their kingdom with their first temple. But eventually, they were conquered by the Babylonians, who took them away into exile. Then, at a crucial moment in their history, many Israelites returned to their land. They built a second temple, they reformed their identity, and this is when the Jewish scriptures began to be formed into the shape that we have them today.
Okay, the Jewish Bible. What's in it?
Well, in Hebrew, it's called by an acronym, Tanakh. The T stands for Torah, sometimes called the Law. That's Israel's five-book foundation story. The N stands for Nevi'im, the Hebrew word for prophets. And this section consists of the historical books that tell Israel's story from the prophet's point of view. Then you get the poetic books of the prophets themselves. The K stands for Ketuvim, the Hebrew word for writings. This is a diverse collection of poetic books, wisdom books, and more narrative. And the Jewish people believe that through all of these literary works, God speaks to his people.
Now, there were other Jewish writings being produced during this Second Temple period as well.
Yeah, a really diverse group of texts. And these too were highly valued in Jewish communities. And there was debate from ancient times about whether or not some of these should be considered part of their scriptures.
So, this is a lot of different writings over a long period of time. Why did they put them all together like this?
Well, altogether, these texts tell an epic story about how God is working through these people to bring order and beauty out of the chaos of our world. And it all builds up to a hope for a new leader who would come and renew all creation. And then the Tanakh concludes, and this leader never comes.
So it's an expertly crafted work, but it's missing an ending?
That's exactly right. Now, a few centuries later, a Jewish prophet comes onto the scene named Jesus of Nazareth. He claimed he was carrying the Tanakh story forward.
Yeah, so Jesus did a bunch of cool stuff, was killed, but his followers claimed he was alive from the dead.
Yeah, they said that Jesus was that long-awaited leader who would restore the world. And so his earliest followers, called apostles, they composed new literary works about the story of Jesus. They called these Good News, or the Gospel. They formed an account called Acts about the spread of the Jesus movement outside of Israel. And then they circulated letters to different Jesus communities all around the ancient world.
And they saw these writings as part of the scripture.
Yeah, the apostles wrote all of this as the fulfillment of that epic story found in the Tanakh. And they were continuing the literary genius of the Jewish tradition. They also believe that God was speaking to his people through these texts alongside the scriptures of Israel.
So that's the Old and New Testament. But what did the early Christians think of the other Second Temple literature?
Well, different groups had different views about some of these books, but we know they read them and valued these texts because they passed them along with the Jewish scriptures.
Okay, so we've got the Tanakh, the Jewish scriptures. We got these other Second Temple period works. Then the writing of the apostles about Jesus. And that's a lot of literature, so what's in my Bible?
So the Christian movement has taken different forms over 2,000 years, and from the beginning, all Christians recognized the Tanakh and the New Testament as scripture. And for centuries, much of the Second Temple literature was read as part of the biblical tradition. The Catholic Church eventually made it official and called some of the books from this collection the Deuterocanonical books. Some Orthodox churches used even more books from this Second Temple literature. And then in the 1500s, during the Reformation, Protestant Christians wanted to go back to the oldest writings of the prophets and apostles, so they accepted only the Old and New Testaments.
Okay, I think I got it. But how does a collection of books produced over 1,000 years by all these different authors tell one unified story?
Yeah, that's the question we'll address in our next video.
Maybe you're like, just show the video instead, Mark. Ted, you want to hit those lights again? Thanks. So I just really like the way they set that up. And if you're interested in more just basic Bible study, that's a great series. You can find it on their website or on YouTube. And they go through lots of different stuff. But the Bible is this incredible gift. This collection of divinely inspired writings that were given to show us who God is, how we can be his people, how we're to live differently in the world and be connected to him. But what does that look like? How do we get into it? How do we engage it best? And so how have Christians gotten into scripture in the past? And now how do we get the scripture into us? How do we let it dwell in our hearts? And how do we get ourselves into scripture? As we engage it, we begin to develop the mind of Christ. Paul says in Romans 12, he says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And as we sit in the scriptures, I think that takes place. So we're going to look at four ancient and current ways that we can engage this study of Scripture. And the first one is simply study, like being a student. Psalm 119, which is a long chapter, talks a lot about the value of the Bible. It says, "Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds." Saying, "God, help me understand what I'm seeing and what I'm reading when I look at the text." The Bible is a book you can spend a lifetime in. You can read it over and over again. It's written as what's called meditation literature, something you read over and over again and let it saturate who you are. The Bible is a pool of water that a baby can wade in and an elephant can bathe in. Like, it's clear, there's things that even a child can understand, and there's things that even the most brilliant minds take a lifetime to struggle to understand. So it's a library that we can spend our whole life studying and thinking deeply about it. God has given you a mind, you know this, to think, to deeply consider, and to learn, and to interpret, and to think in ways that are really powerful. And you should use this when you think about the Scriptures. Now, reading the Bible and studying the Bible is far more than an academic or an intellectual exercise, but it's not less than that. You get what I'm saying? Like, this is part of it. Like, it's to think deeply about context and understanding and history. And we get to stand on the shoulders of geniuses who have gone before us of interpreting the Scriptures and following Him. So we study it. We study in groups. We do stuff like this where we engage Bible preaching and teaching. There's like podcasts out there and so many books and so many great, unbelievable resources. Some not so good, but some really great. I mean, you know I love the Bible Project. They're my favorite resource. And you can watch not only their videos, but like their podcast I listen to every week, which is a deep dive Bible study. And then you can take seminary level classes for free, you know, through there. And there's lots of places where you can do deep study of the Scriptures. But we study the Bible. We pore over it. And I hope that if you are a follower of Jesus, whether or not you would describe yourself as a Bible nerd, I hope you would see yourself as a lifelong student of the Bible, letting it transform your mind by studying it, poring over it. Another one is reading aloud. And until just the last few hundred years, God's people didn't have access to their own copies of the Scripture. Most of them were illiterate anyway. And so the main way that people engaged the Bible was going to public worship gatherings where it was read. And they would hear that and they'd maybe look at stained glass or something like that to tell the story. But they didn't have access to it. And in fact, when these Scriptures were first read and delivered, they were delivered out loud. And there's this part in the very beginning of the book of Revelation that says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it." What this is saying, what John is saying to when Revelation was delivered, is saying, look, it's blessed to be the person who gets to read the Scriptures out loud. It's blessed to get to hear it. Like, there's something about out loud reading and consuming of the Scriptures, especially in community, that's really powerful. In fact, I think much of it was intended to be that way. Nothing wrong with reading the Bible quietly on your own. But there's something really powerful about reading out loud, even if you're by yourself. Or listening to it. I mean, it's pretty cool the age we live in right now. Almost all of us have some way we can just listen to the Bible for free. It's pretty rad. One of my favorite things we do as a church is whenever we start a new book of the Bible as a sermon series, we invite people to come to a public reading, like we did this with Daniel. We read all of Daniel out loud together. Another time we did all of Matthew out loud together, which took, what, like 3.5 hours or something? It was rad, right? If you were there. But there's something really powerful about reading it out loud and doing that. So even if you're by yourself, read it out loud. Another way is memorization. Psalm 119 says, "I have hidden your word in your heart that I might not sin against you." And I know that as we age, or maybe we feel like our memories can't hold on to things like they used to, but you can memorize Scripture. You can. It's there. You know things. You remember things. You can make that a practice. And oftentimes, like, memorizing the Scriptures is a big part of kids' ministry, Awana or VBS. You know, we might memorize Scriptures, which is really great. But it's not just a discipline for children. All of us can do this. All of us can engage and carry around the Scriptures in our heart. Because when we know them and we can recall what God says to us in the Scriptures, we can recall it at any moment. It's hidden in our hearts. And I've told you, like, I hate being in the dentist when I'm having like dental work done. I'm reciting this 23rd Psalm over and over and over again. Because it gives me comfort in that place, you know. We can remember the teachings of Jesus. So it could be just a verse. It could be a passage of Scripture. When I was youth pastor and we always did a mission trip somewhere, we'd always have a big chunk that people had to memorize, a whole chapter, like Romans 12, Colossians 3, Philippians 2, Psalm 51. And you couldn't get on the airplane or the bus without having it memorized. And so we'd spend time learning this together. Some people, it was a big struggle. But there's value to that, and I would encourage you to do that. In fact, this summer, one of the ways that I'm seeking to practice some of these things is by memorizing the Sermon on the Mount. It's the most I've ever tried to memorize of one thing, but it's three chapters, which is the core center of Jesus' teaching. It's found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and it's the most revolutionary teaching I think that's ever been. And so I got my index cards that I'm going to carry with me all over the place for the summer, and those times when I would normally pull out my phone to kill time, you know, waiting at the grocery store line or something like that, this is my go-to, all right? And so I'm telling you this, not to brag, but because I would like a partner or two that want to jump into this. And my goal is to have chapter 5 done by the 4th of July and then move on to chapter 6. So if anybody wants to memorize the Sermon on the Mount with me, which is something my dad has always encouraged me and challenged me to do, and I've never done it till now, my 45th summer. So anyway, I want to invite you to do that with me. But memorizing Scripture, chunks of it, pieces of it, whatever you can get in your brain, that's good for you. It's good for you. And then finally, slow reading, or what we call meditation. Lots of places in the Scripture we're exhorted to meditate on the Scriptures. Psalm 119, 15, and 16 says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. To meditate on something, like we talked about in Psalm 1, is like someone who meditates on the word day and night, like a tree planted by water. And meditation is a way of chewing on the Scriptures, you know, savoring it, sitting in it, letting it rest on us, letting it wash over us. It's a little different from academic exercises of understanding context, and those things are always important, but it's sitting in it. If the main way that we know who God is because of these revealed, inspired Scriptures, then we sit in them and just rest in them sometimes. Meditation is not emptying your mind and achieving some sort of empty space. What it is, in the biblical context, it's filling our minds with the most important thing and resting in that, knowing that that's where we meet God, that's where he reveals himself to us, and realigning our minds and becoming aware of God's presence with us. Our minds are naturally designed to make associations and follow tangents. Like even right now, you're listening to me, but you're thinking about like all sorts of stuff, right? That's okay. Like that's part of being human. But meditation, especially meditation on Scripture, is a way for us to realign that and to train our minds to stay put and to rest and keep step with God. To sit in a small section of Scripture, repeat it over and over again. And in fact, Jewish people, if you go to Israel, when you see Hasidic Jews and Orthodox Jews walking around, they're muttering to themselves. They're meditating on the Scriptures. They're going through it over and over again. And the Bible is meditation literature, meaning that we can read it over and over again and keep learning more and sitting in it and letting it change and transform our mind. And especially in our full and busy and hurried world, this is a great practice to start off the day slow reading a passage of Scripture, sitting with a community of people, letting the Scriptures just wash over us. And many people call this Lectio Divina, which it means divine reading, and it's basically a way of slowing down and sitting in the Scriptures and just meditating on a section of Scripture and letting it sit and fill our minds and knowing that that's where we meet God. You know, Samuel, when he was a boy, you read about in 1 Samuel, was called by God, and he was instructed to say, your servant is listening, Lord. So we come before him, we say, Lord, I'm listening, and we let the Scriptures wash over it. In fact, we're going to do it right now. A little version of this. I'm going to read two verses from Isaiah 61, and this is how we're going to land our time. So I just wanted to invite you to listen to this. I'll read it two or three times, and we're going to do a light version of Lectio Divina. And I'm just going to be quiet for a moment, I'm going to read and just invite you just to listen to the words. Let them wash over you. The second time I read it, see if there's anything that comes to mind or sticks out at you when you listen to these scriptures. Just two verses out of Isaiah 61. Let's do that right now. This is how we're going to end our time, is just sitting together, because this is something you can do by yourself, and even better, you do in community. So slow your breathing down. God, speak to your servants. We are listening. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. I'll read it again and just let the words wash over you. Let them penetrate your mind and your heart. Sit with God as you hear the word. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation, and arrayed in me a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Thank you, God, for revealing yourself in your word. Amen. So that's just one practice. It's a mini version of Lectio, where you just sit in the scriptures, a piece of it, meditate on it, chew on it, let it take root in your heart that you could think about it later on. And if there's certain things that come to mind that stick out of that, ask the Lord, why did this stick out to me, God? What are you teaching me? Because the scriptures, the Bible, this divinely inspired set of documents is the way we know God primarily. It's an incredible gift. Incredible gift. We're to obey it. We're supposed to allow it to transform us, make us more like Jesus, and it's the way that we know him. So through reading, through study, through memorization, through meditation, through discussing it when we're on the road, when we're at home, this is the life we're invited to. And so your thought for the drive home as we wrap up this morning is this. Is there a way God is leading me to more deeply engage the Bible? Such an incredible gift. I know it's overwhelming sometimes and it's confusing. And to be honest, there's parts of the Bible I find deeply troubling. Yet, I think that is beautiful because it means that we can be lifelong people of it. We don't match the Bible to fit us. We align ourselves up under it. And so that's my hope this morning, is just for us to think about how we can more deeply engage the Bible as we let it transform us through the renewing of our mind. So let me pray, and then we'll invite the worship team to come up. Oh, and we're going to sing Scripture, right? It's one of the ways we memorize it. Sherry has a gift for taking the words of Scripture. It's a song, so I'm looking forward to that. Let's pray. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you, God, that we have the privilege of having so many resources and translations, and I pray, God, that we wouldn't leave that treasured gift on the shelf, but we would engage you with it, Lord, that we would find you in the midst of that, and that through our study of the Scripture and using the minds you have given us, that we might deeply be engaged with who you are, that we would adjust our life to be like you, Lord. God, we ask that you would transform our minds, change our hearts, soften them, turn us towards you. Thank you, God, for revealing yourself to us in the scriptures. What a treasure. In Jesus' name, amen.